Well, greetings and welcome to our service today. We are starting to talk about Christmas. Aren't you glad it's just about time for Christmas? And the Christmas story is a story of hope. And over the next couple of weeks, we really want to look at that topic of hope and what it means for us as Christians to have hope, not just as this kind of warm, fuzzy feeling in our stomachs, but the Bible tells us we have hope as an anchor for our souls. I read an article not long ago that described South Africa as a nation that is filled with hopelessness. In fact, I'm not sure if you've ever looked at generational studies, that all of the generations have a bit of a nickname. So we had the silent generation and the boomers generation and Generation X. And this upcoming generation in South Africa has been given the nickname the hopeless generation. We're told that young people don't know which way to turn and they are concerned about their futures and lack hope and ambition because of what they see around them. I wonder if you've ever felt hopeless, you've experienced hopelessness. Perhaps during this year, you've had moments of uncertainty where you've wondered if anything is ever going to change, if the world is just going to continue to get worse. And God understands that hopelessness in us. And it was to a similarly hopeless generation that Jesus Christ was born. But I want to illustrate hope in maybe a unique way today by referring to a story of something that happened now just about 10 years ago on the 5th of August in 2010. And you'll probably remember the story about these Chilean miners, 33 of them, who were trapped underground. The story is told that what happened is a shaft collapsed and these 33 miners were trapped 625 meters underground. And you can just imagine the conditions in that mine underneath the desert, in fact. It's dark, obviously, except for a little bit of artificial lighting, which had to be used very sparingly in order to save electricity. It's about 40 degrees and like 98% humidity. So the hottest of Durban days, but constantly, day and night, it is swelteringly warm down there. We're told that these miners lived off rations, strict rations of about 2.5 spoons of tuna a day and half a biscuit and a half glass of milk every 48 hours. Clean drinking water ran out after a couple of days, and all they had left was very dirty, oily water that was used to keep the machinery operating. And that's what they had to drink, just making them sick in the stomach. And this is how these miners lived in these conditions for 17 days. But I think worse than the physical conditions that they were living in was the sense of hopelessness, this concern. Will we ever see the light of day again? Will we ever see our families? Will we ever walk in freedom again? All day long, these miners would sit and honk on the vehicles that were stuck down there with them, honking and honking and honking, hours and hours a day, hoping that somebody above heard the noises and realized that they were still alive. And in desperation, they sent their messages to the world up there. But for 17 days, they heard nothing. Day after day after day, nothing. And I'm sure in the beginning, there must have been the positive ones among them saying, don't worry, any moment now, we're going to hear word from up above. Any moment now, somebody's going to break through and come and fetch us. Any day now, any day now, any day now. But as the time lags on, the hopelessness rises among them. And the world before Christmas was also a very, very dark place. One of the words, in fact, that the scripture uses most often to describe the spiritual state of the world and of our hearts is darkness. Spiritually, we live in darkness. We're surrounded by sin and death and suffering and sorrow and brokenness and corruption. Ephesians chapter 6 says this, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. This present darkness, our current reality, is a place where hopelessness breeds. As far as anyone can tell, this is all that there is in this life. You're born, you make the best of it, then you die. There's no greater purpose than that. Just hopelessness. And some who dream of something more, they cry out to something beyond themselves, hoping for rescue, but perhaps you've felt this before, that it's as if your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling. The good news is this, that God hears those prayers, and God is already working on a rescue plan. For the miners, on the 27th of August, more than 2 weeks after being trapped down there, a narrow perforation drill broke through the surface where they were trapped. Can you imagine the joy and elation? This isn't even a person that they're seeing. That's just signs from above that something is happening for them, that the rescue operation is underway. And so in their joy, they attached a little note to the drill, which went back up to the surface. And the note simply said this: all 33 of us are alive and well. And after that first point of contact, absolutely everything changes. As the passage from the world above to the world below was widened a little bit, all kinds of things were sent down to the miners, starting with some medicine, hydration gels, soup, and nicotine patches, letters poured in from family, from friends, from people all over the world, including celebrities like Maradona and Pele. Someone says they even sent a Man United shirt right down to the miners, which they sent straight back up and said, no, thank you. A fiber optic cable was sent down so that the miners could have Skype conferences with their families and watch soccer on TV. All of these gifts just came pouring down. They were sent Bibles. They were sent a video camera on which they recorded some of their favorite jokes. And apparently, if you actually go check up on YouTube, there is about 8 hours of Chilean miner jokes from right down under there in the ground. The greatest gift, however, that they received was the gift of hope. Hope that they would one day be reunited with their families, that their lives were not going to end 625 meters under the ground. Suddenly, they believed that there was more to their existence. And hope changes everything. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 and verse 6. Listen to how he describes the spiritual state of people. The people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So for us, the light has broken into the darkness too. And he came in the form of not a superhero, but a baby. And it's fascinating to think of Jesus, this man who would feed 5,000 with loaves and fishes one day, also had to learn how to eat and drink and process his solids. The man who would preach the Sermon on the Mount first had to learn to say mama and dada before pronouncing the greatest words ever spoken. And the man who would walk one day up Calvary carrying a cross first had to learn how to crawl. But this is how salvation is presented to us. This is how hope enters into our world. The Gospel of John talks about Jesus under a unique title. John calls him the Word that was spoken of by God. And he says this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus' coming is a light to us. It is a reminder that there is hope, that there is a day of salvation coming where we will live with him once again. And that is Christmas Day, the day that heaven invades earth and changes everything. So hope changed the way that the miners lived as well. They still were stuck down in that mine for some time after that first flicker of hope, but they began to live now with a purpose. The conditions hadn't really changed all that much. It was still as hot as ever, still as dark as ever, but they had these gifts from above, and they had the gift of hope. So the doctors put all of these miners on a strict diet and an exercise plan. They had to do, they had to run down there, and they had to lose a whole bunch of weight. They were only allowed to eat rice and meat and vegetables. Why? So that they could fit into the escape pod that was being designed for them. It was only ever going to be about 2 feet wide all the way around. And some of them needed to lose a little bit of weight out front. Can you imagine how tragic it would have been if they waited for this escape pod, but when it arrived, they couldn't fit in there and they had to wait down there even longer. But this was how their lives changed. Everything became about the day of their salvation. Everything became about the day that they would want to be taken back to the surface to be reunited with those they loved. And they focused on it and they worked hard, but they didn't complain about it because they knew there was a purpose in what they were doing. The miners also drafted a pact of secrecy that when they got to the surface, none of them would tell their story, that they would together tell the story so that each of them would be able to make something out of it financially. It was a pact that they wrote down and signed. They didn't keep it, unfortunately, but the idea was pretty good that they would, once they got up there, have stored up some treasure for themselves. The Bible tells us this, continues in John chapter 1. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And if you were with us last week as we wrapped up Exodus, we know that what he was really saying there is God came and tabernacled among us, presenced himself among us, that we might have fellowship and unity again with him. And this changes the way that we live now as well, the fact that Jesus has come. We don't live aimlessly. We don't just wander about our days hoping to become as comfortable as possible down here. We start to look at things with a heavenly mindset, with a purpose. Jesus tells us we ought to be eternity-minded and store up treasure for ourselves in heaven by doing good works here. But everything is focused on the life that is to come and enduring the life that is presently ours to make sure that the life to come is glorious. We have a brand new mission in life that Jesus has given us as well. He says to us, his people, you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you might proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. He is the light of the world. We need to point those who still don't know about salvation, still don't have hope, point them to the source of our hope. That is our calling, to proclaim the good news of Christmas, the hope of the world. In this way, we also become representations of the light into dark places. Well, the final act for these miners came on the 66th day after the accident, being trapped underground for 66 days, but eventually their escape pod was completed. And one by one, these miners were taken up to the surface. It took about 2 hours for each one to be transported in that tight little cage. But the discomfort was nothing compared to the happiness that was waiting for them on the surface. So each one of them gladly endured whatever discomfort was necessary for the sake of what was waiting upstairs. And eventually, as the last one came out, it was considered a triumphant occasion, a great victory for hope. And so for us as Christians as well, although we experience God's gifts in this life, this still is not our home. This is not the existence that we are being prepared for. He has, for those who love him, prepared a home for us, that one day we also will be taken there. And even though the transport, the means of getting to that place may be a little bit uncomfortable and painful, once we're there, everything, we would look back at everything that we've experienced in this life and be so grateful that we put our trust and our faith in Jesus Christ. Christmas is all about hope. And I hope you get a little bit more of an idea of what this hope is. And as we unpack this idea over the next little while, my hope is that through the rest of this year, you are overflowing with hope placed in Jesus Christ, and that it becomes truly an anchor to your soul, no matter what the future holds for you. If your hope is in Jesus Christ, you are unshakable. Christmas is about the hope that changes everything. It's about the arrival of Jesus Christ, the one who rocked the world and brought about a new day. So how do we as believers just go about putting Christ back into the center of Christmas? Well, I want to challenge you now, before you get too deeply into the commercialization of this whole thing and you're too worried about Christmas dinner and about what you're going to buy as gifts for all of your loved ones, consider where you place your hope and what it's all about for you this year. Maybe you need to celebrate Christmas a little bit differently. Maybe you need to make sure that as much time as possible is invested in giving the honor and glory to the hope of the world. So may we as a church, as families, and as individuals put Christ Jesus first in Christmas this year. And may we live changed lives because of the hope that we have in Him. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have come and broken into our darkness and shown us that there is a life beyond this one. So I pray, Father God, for any person who is listening, who is watching this today, who feels hopeless, who wonders if you care, who wonders if anyone cares, who wonders if their life has meaning, today, Lord God, flood their hearts with hope. May you break through the surface like that drill broke through that rock so many years ago, Lord God, and break through those hearts. Give them just a flicker of hope that grows and grows and grows. May they know that you are faithful and trustworthy, and that to take you at your word is not hoping blindly, but is putting a bet on a sure thing that you are faithful and will come through for your people. Lord, through this festive season, we want to commit ourselves to you. We want to be reflections of you, Jesus, to the world. We want to be lights to the world. So may we not be sidetracked, distracted by all the practical elements of Christmas and by all of the hype and the advertising and the commercialism, but rather to celebrate the gift of Jesus Christ appropriately in our homes and in our hearts. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And so now may God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who called us is faithful, and He will do it. Amen.